The following broadcast is a presentation of Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sunday mornings for worship and life together throughout the week as we love God and love others. For service times and learn more about our community, go to DecaturFMC.org.
Privilege this morning. I've been thinking all the week along, wouldn't it be nice to just pull Pastor Linda out the side and say, what were the younger days like when Pastor Paul was growing up? What little tidbits can you give us? But what a blessing. I know she serves on pastoral staff down at the bridge. When Joy and I were serving at Colfine, the bridge was just getting its start. With Brother Ben Tolley and all that was going on there, and the life and the ministry keeps going. And know the exciting things that must be happening there. Pastor Linda, come and share with us at this time.
Thank you so much, Pastor Ron, and thank you, church, for just allowing me to be here with you. It's wonderful just to be here. I'm hearing an echo. I don't know if that's me. You know, age does things, which is why I have water. My daughter, British, and I came up this morning. She's the young lady in the back. She hides. So when Paul asked me if I was available, he quickly told me that he'd be starting a new series on prayer because he knows how important prayer is to me. You see, prayer has been a journey in my life as a child, and I'm sure many of you can relate to me. As a child, we have, if you grew up in the church, you have these help me prayers. You know, help me get through this test. Help me get back together with this friend. Help me find a boyfriend. Those kind of help me prayers. And then adolescent comes in, and there is in my life a silence because there is rebellion that started to take hold. And then in my senior year, I got this real relationship with Jesus, and he became my best friend, and we just talked all the time. Now, basically, I did the talking, but it was a back and forth. I would read my Bible, he would speak to me in his word, and I would speak to him verbally. And then life set in. You know, troubles come, and which then changed my prayers back to, help me, save him, save us, prayers. To probably a decade later, having prayers of forgiveness, which became my healing ointment from the inside out. I would like to share with you today what Jesus has been teaching me about forgiveness. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for just allowing me to be here today and to be your spokesperson. Father, I pray that you will empty out all of me and fill me with all of you so that nothing comes forth except for your words, for your glory, for your honor. I just pray for each and every one of us, Father, that you might speak to us, that you will speak right into our hearts, Father God, that you will reveal things that we've never thought of before. And we will give you all honor and all glory. Amen. Now, they told me I can venture out, but I'm going to be honest, I don't venture. This is my safety, and I like hiding behind it. So if Pastor Paul is a venturer, you know, I apologize. I like standing behind here. Forgiveness starts with a wound, doesn't it? I think many of you recognize Charlie Brown and Lucy. Now, Lucy was a close friend, wasn't she? But there was a wound, physically and I'm sure probably emotionally as well. Have you ever been hurt by someone else? wounds hurt. One of the great ironies, though, of human love and relationships is that the deepest emotional wounds come from those who are in our family, close friends. Whether it's biological family, spiritual family in the church, family-like friendships with neighbors, co-workers, teammates, those closest to us have the capacity to hurt us the most. The most tender wounds we carry and the most memorable scars are rarely from strangers or casual acquaintances, are they? That happened to me. I married at the ripe age of 20, thinking at 18, 19 that I was going to be an old maid. And then along came Rick, and he just became the joy of my life. And it was a year later that we married. And then 10 years into it, I mean, it certainly, it wasn't a perfect marriage, but, you know, just like with any marriages, we had our ups and downs. But 10 years into it, he sat me down in the bed and told me that someone had seen him coming out of an adult bookstore. Now, unbeknownst to me, I didn't know what an adult bookstore was. I must have looked, you know, like, okay. And he said, you don't know what an adult bookstore is, do you? And I said, well, they don't have children's books. He goes, well, that's kind of true. So then he proceeded to explain a little bit more. And when he told me, I was just numb in disbelief. How could that happen? And you go from numbness and disbelief to then thinking, well, there must have been something wrong with me. You know, maybe I wasn't pretty enough, or maybe I wasn't skinny enough, or, you know, one of those things. And then you get down to anger and bitterness and resentment. And how dare you? What in the world? Well, he apologized and said it was just a one-time thing that would never happen again, and I believed him. Just kind of swept it under the carpet, moved on. But you see, it wasn't a one-time thing. It was something that had started in his life as a teenager and continued off and on for the next 25 years. Of our married life. I became emotionally and spiritually wounded. You see, Esau, an Old Testament character, was also wounded. Not by a spouse, but by a brother. And not just any brother. It was his twin brother. Now, the story of Esau and Jacob reads like a juicy novel, doesn't it? The story begins in Genesis 25. The twin brothers were born to Rebekah and Isaac, the son of Abraham. When Isaac was near death, he desired to give Esau, the older of the two brothers, his blessing. Now, today we bless things all the time, and it means approval or acceptance. Well, in biblical times, a blessing was to grant another a place of honor, of status. Usually the blessing was given to the firstborn son. In this case, that should have been Esau, because Esau came out of the womb first. Yet, at the suggestion of his scheming mother, Jacob, the younger of the two, in chapter 27, verse 5, tricks and deceives his father, Isaac, so that the blessing is given to Jacob instead of Esau. Which was, for Esau, a double whammy. For you see, since earlier in the lives of Jacob, Jacob first conned Esau out of his birthright. Imagine the shock and the horror that Esau felt when he learned of this deception. And on the screen, Genesis 27:36, Esau exclaimed, "No wonder his name is Jacob, for now he has cheated me twice. First, he took my rights as the firstborn, and now he has stolen my blessing. And notice the footnote that Jacob sounds like in Hebrew word of heel or deceiver. Esau was left with nothing. He was crushed. The hurt boiled into rage. Let's turn to the 41st verse, which says, "From that time on, Esau hated Jacob because of their father had given Jacob the blessing. And Esau began to scheme. I will soon be mourning my father's death. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." Deep-seated anguish turns into all-out revenge. Esau's mind begins to race, thinking about the numerous ways that he can settle the score, make it right, destroy that deceiver. Esau's feelings are probably no different than some of us. So how do we respond to the hurts and offenses? Well, some of us, like myself, pretend that it doesn't even happen. We just kind of sweep it under the carpet. Do you ever have families like that? Or, but over time, when you keep pushing things down and pushing them down, guess what? They explode out of nowhere. And then you have that anger. Maybe we deal with hurts by attacking through our words or our hands through physical abuse. Or perhaps revenge, plotting and scheming of ways to make this person pay, like Esau. Maybe we just withdraw. You know, I remember after a time, we stayed together, Rick and I stayed together for 10 years during those ups and lows. And toward the end, I just shut down. There's nothing left. Sometimes we withdraw, don't we? Or sometimes you just want to run away. Sometimes you do. If not physically, emotionally. But unfortunately, like any wound that's not treated, it doesn't go away. Have you noticed that? It doesn't go away. Instead, it becomes infected. So how do we start to repair the hurt? Well, it starts with forgiveness. Forgiveness heals the wounds. But you see, I can hear you now. It's like, forgive him, forgive her. Are you kidding? Why should I forgive them? They don't deserve it. Guess what? You're right. None of us deserve it, do we? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:32. So why do we forgive? Why does Jesus tell us to forgive? In Ephesians 4:32 it says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Why do we forgive? Because the Bible tells us to, and because Jesus set the example. Jesus forgave. Each time I think about someone who has wounded me, I mean, even today, you can't go through life unless you're in a bubble without someone wounding you. And sometimes those wounds really hurt. And sometimes you don't want to forgive. But each time of those times that I don't want to forgive, Jesus brings himself back to me. And he shows me a picture of him on the cross and reminds me of those times that he was beaten, that he was spit on, that he was ridiculed, that he was all those things. And yet, on the cross, as they were probably still doing that, he opened his hands opened up. He looked down at the very ones who were hurting him to say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And it's in those times that I think, well, if God, if Jesus can forgive us, them, then certainly I can forgive. Another reason is because it affects us spiritually. You see, when we have unforgiveness in our heart, I don't know about you, but there's something that goes on inside of me so that my line of communication with God just isn't the same. And it affects me spiritually. It also affects our physical health. High blood pressure, fatigue, loss of sleep, which then weakens our immune system, causing some chemical imbalance. Not only does it affect us spiritually, physically, it also affects us mentally, emotionally. Depression sets in. I remember on my, I believe it must have been my 40th birthday. It was a Sunday. It was wintertime. My birthday's in January. And I remember, you know, everybody else was getting ready for church. And I just went downstairs. Someone had given me, my favorite is chocolate-covered raisins. Anybody else like chocolate-covered raisins? All right. They were my favorite. They had given me a package of raisinettes. I went downstairs, took them downstairs. The basement was very dark. I didn't turn on any lights. And I just sat there crying, eating my chocolate-covered raisins. And saying, "No, you go on to church." Because I just couldn't muster up the strength to look at people to say, "Oh, yeah, my life is wonderful." And to put on that facade anymore. And so I stayed at home while everybody else went to church, eating my chocolate-covered raisins. I was depressed. I'm thinking, "Oh my goodness, I'm 40 years old. I'm probably half of my age, and look at my life right now." It creates anxiety, stress. It affected my communication skills with others, my thinking ability, my decision making. It also affected the quality of my life. It hindered relationship within the family because of my feelings I was having toward Rick. And being angry at him, I would take it out on the kids. It wasn't their fault, but they were like, they'd drop something in, you know, that volcano. Boom! Pick that up! What's wrong with you? I'd take it out on them. Friends. I couldn't have that relationship with them anymore. Because I had this wall built up, work, community, even going through the grocery store, you know, and you have this person in front of you, you're just, everything in life, it affects, and I don't know if it's this way with guys, I hear that you're more compartmentalized, but for women, we're all over the place. If there's something that's not right in our marriage, then it affects our work and our families, and we just are intertwined. It decreases productivity at work. It shortens our lifespan. Lastly, unforgiveness chains us to the past. It poisons our present, keeping us from our future. Lewis Smead said it best when he said, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and then discover that the prisoner was me." What is forgiveness? Well, probably first I need to say what forgiveness is not. because there's a lot of things that I've grown to be aware of. Forgiveness is not a feeling. You see, I always thought, well, when I have this feeling of love toward this person, then I'll forgive them. It's not about a feeling. It's just a command that we need to do it. It's not about forgetting. You know, we always say forgive and forget. It's not about pretending that it didn't happen. If I forgive someone, that doesn't mean that I have to pretend that it didn't happen. It happened. But what it does mean is that it no longer controls me. It's not condoning what the other person did. So if I forgive this person, that doesn't mean that what that person did was okay. Because it's not. It hurt. And God knows the hurt. It's not relieving the person of their responsibility. It's not taking them off the hook. What they did was wrong. And so that doesn't mean that by me forgiving that person, that means that everything is all cleared up. No, they're still accountable to God. It's not the same as reconciliation. God calls us to forgive. He doesn't necessarily always call us to reconcile. Reconciliation takes two people coming together. All I have control over is me. I can't control the other person. So when I forgive that person, I don't have any control over what they do. All I can do is to do what I can do, which is forgive, which is what he calls us to. Now, it'd be awesome if reconciliation was part of that. Not all the time is it to be. That doesn't mean that if you forgive that you have to reconcile. Some situations, it's best to be left apart. I think of some situations where mother-daughter, father-son, father-daughter, where that adult has hurt a child. That doesn't mean that you become that person's best buddy. All it means that you're forgiving them, that you're releasing them back to God's hands and stopping the control over your own life. Forgiveness is not based on the wrongdoer's actions. So in other words, well, if they say that they're sorry, or if they ask me for forgiveness, then I'll forgive them. Notice that in Scripture, it never gives a condition. If this and this happens, then forgive. It just says to forgive. And then leave it in God's hands as to how that happens. Forgiving does not mean that it's justice, nor does it mean that we, through our forgiveness, are going to change the other person. If I forgive you, that doesn't necessarily mean that by my forgiveness, that things are going to be all of a sudden wonderful and right. It only means that I'm relinquishing control over my life toward them. So how do we do this thing called forgiveness? Well, see, what I always thought is, for the longest time, Rick and I separated. After 10 years of going through that, I felt like God was saying, okay, Linda, it's okay for you guys to separate. So we separated. And I felt like during that time that I had forgiven him. Yeah, I forgave him. But guess what? Anytime there is a family function and he was there, inside of me. I didn't do that outside. Inside, though, it's like, oh, I can't believe he's here. Did you? Oh. So you could tell by my feelings on the inside that I really hadn't forgiven. So when God, when Rick allowed God to heal him, because you see, what I didn't know as well is that he had been wounded. Because you see, hurting people have been hurt by other people. Unbeknownst to me is that he had been hurt as a child. He had been molested as a child. Does that mean that it's okay for what he did? No. But it helped to give me some understanding as to what was going on. And so when God brought us back, when I was able to know that God was bringing us back together, he took us on this venture, and this is where it was a healing and deliverance program where we were supposed to be trained to become those that heal and deliver. However, we went because we needed to be healed and delivered. And so we went for 7 weeks. And believe me, it took all those 7 weeks for me to go from despising him to then liking him as a person and loving him again as my husband. That was an amazing time, but part of that was a teaching in forgiveness that I'm going to share with you right now. And so you have to name the person who's hurt you. Yes. And so I'm going to just give the scenario with Rick. So for me, it would be Rick. Second, you have to write or speak out the hurt that was caused. So I forgive, in my situation, Rick, for what specifically did they do to cause you this pain? For me, it was I forgive Rick for being unfaithful to me. I forgive Rick for lying to me. Now, you see, you're just taking one situation. You're not doing a blanket, I just forgive. You're doing each specific pain that was caused and then what that was. So I forgive Rick for lying to me. I forgive Rick for not being the husband that God had intended him to be. Remember, we're just staying focused on this one thing. Third, now, and this is probably the hardest part, is we're going to feel that pain. We're going to ask Jesus to take us back to the place where we were initially hurt, initially wounded. We're going to ask Jesus, how did this wound help make me feel? And as I mentioned, this is the hardest part because sometimes we have pushed down so much that we don't even know how this makes us feel since we've suppressed it for so long. I have the ministry, I call it a prayer ministry. And so people that have been wounded, British and I pray with them. And many times they will say, I don't feel anything. But the reason for that is because they have lived with it for so long and suppressed it for so long that they don't know. Or sometimes we don't want to acknowledge that pain because we don't want to go back there and feel it. Do we? Who wants to go back and feel pain? Not me. But you see, this is so important because if you don't go back and feel that pain and allow Jesus to heal that pain, then it's still going to fester. Or sometimes we try to deny our feelings, like hate or anger, because as a Christian, we're not supposed to be feeling this way, are we? So it's not a good feeling. It's not a good feeling to even have to say it. And even though this is the hardest, it's the most important because without releasing the pain, it remains festering under the surface. I remember my dad had this big old boil. How many, have you ever seen a boil? It was on his nose. And it was, I mean, it was big. It was about the size of a half dollar. And you could see the, there was liquid in it. And it was disgusting, to be sure. And he had to go to the doctor to get what? He had to get it, they call it lanced, to get out the fluid. I mean, thankfully, you know, y'all not eating. So, but see, without that, it would keep festering. It would keep building and growing. And it wasn't until this stuff, the technical term is stuff, came oozing out, then it would start healing. It's the same with us today. If we keep that stuff, that ugly stuff, and believe me, when that stuff came out, do you know what it smells like? Icky. Again, a technical term, icky. It was horrendous. But it was because it was icky stuff in there that needed to come out, that needed to come out of our system to heal. Same with us. That hurt, that wound that was so deep, it has to be released. Thank you. It has to be released. Otherwise, it's going to remain right there, and it's going to keep seething and festering. And I don't know if there's some times where you go from a 0 to a 10. Somebody will say something, and it's just like out of the blue, and it's like, boom. I was with my dad. My dad, he was a type 2 diabetic. And he was, and so he had this sore in his toe, and he tried to doctor it himself, and nothing was helping, and it started getting gangrene. And they had to eventually take off the bottom portion of his leg. So because of that, while he was healing, he was a feed salesman. And he loved his job, and the people loved him. And it was just his delight. Well, nothing was going to stop him. Not this foot, nothing. And so we would take him in the car driving to get his sales. One of those days, you have to know my dad, he was... So here I was in the driver's seat. I was driving his car, and he was in the passenger. And he has this thing that tells you how much gas you're saving. And so he would look at that thing, and he goes, okay, let up on the pedal. No, okay, give it a little more gas. Coast. I go, Dad, it's okay. I'll give you money. Not like he needed it, but... I'll pay you $5. It's okay. And he just kept it up until, boom! It's like, stop saying, telling me how to drive. Oh, the look on his face. He did. He didn't ask me to drive again. And I thought afterwards, when we got home, it was like, whoa, where did that come from? Yeah, it was annoying, but it just sent me to 10. Where did that come from, God? Where was the wound at? And he revealed to me that as a child, he was very controlling in what I did, what I wore, what I said, blah, blah, blah. And I hadn't forgiven him. And so I forgave him right then and right there. And then I had to go down and ask his forgiveness. He said, I'm sorry. Now, he still didn't ask me to drive again, but that's another story. So we need to go to the pain. So an example of this, I forgive Rick for being unfaithful to me because it made me feel rejected, not desirable, untrusting of men, doubting God, doubting my decision-making ability. Jesus, I forgive Rick for lying to me because it made me feel like I couldn't trust him or other people. So, you understand? Name the person, name the wound, and how did that make you feel? And then once we have forgiven this person, we again go back to that place. We're going to give all of our pain to Jesus. Now, this is what I do. Everybody does it differently. There's not like a right or wrong answer. I close my eyes and I picture Jesus. And I picture all of that pain. And I, for whatever reason, I picture this white blanket. Or maybe it's a tablecloth. I'm not exactly sure. But it's big enough to hold all of my wounds in that situation. And I'm putting them in there. And then I take the four corners of that tablecloth or blanket. And I still see Jesus there. And I hand them to Jesus. And it's amazing when we do this with people, and I'll say, what do you see? And it's so cool, and I don't want to share with you what they told me, but it's just so cool in what Jesus does with our pain. Absolutely, thank you, Jesus. And then after he takes it, we allow Jesus then to take us out of the room or out of that place and shut the door, because we're done. At least we're done with that segment of it. Lastly, we ask Jesus to forgive our unforgiveness. And when we do this, you can't believe. Now, sometimes there's an immediate release. And if you could just go to that last slide. Other times, you don't feel any different until later. And all of a sudden, when you see that person, or when you hear that person's name, the feelings are no longer there. They're gone. So it's like just giving it to him, and he comes, and he cleanses us and purifies us and heals us. And you're right, it's only because of Jesus. Only he is the cleanser, is the healer. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we can say. It's all about him and not about us. So if you can bow your heads. Father God, thank you for being our healer. Thank you for forgiving us when we don't deserve it. Thank you for being our example of forgiveness. Thank you, Father, for promising to help us in that process of forgiveness, walking beside us, helping us each step of the way. Father, I pray for those that are here today that are wounded, not by anything that they have done, but by others that have wounded them. And they have either buried it or it's raging inside of them. It's causing them to have different effects in their life. Father, you know who they are. Father God, I just pray right now that you will just reach down, that you'll hug them, that you will carry them during this time of healing, that as they come before you, either right now or later in the day, Father God, that you will help them process this, that you will help them and remind them of the steps that you have shown me, and that you will be with them, carry them, love on them, Father. And do what you do best, heal. Now, if there's anyone here that, with your eyes still closed, no one looking around, this is between you and God. I don't want you to think about, oh, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this, because they need to forgive. All I want you to do is to think about you. Father God, if there's any wound that is still remaining in any of them that are still here today, I pray, Father God, that you'll reveal that to them even now, either through a picture or an event, that you will bring it to mind, Father, and that sometime within the next while, whether it's today or tomorrow or this week, that you will heal. You will cleanse. You will help them to forgive. So still with your eyes closed, I just pray that if any of you, I'm not going to mention name, I'm not going to have you come forward, but if any of you have wounds that you know of that you need healing, if you could just raise your hand. I see those hands. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm just going to pray specifically for you. So, Father God, each and every person that raised their hand right now, and even those that that maybe didn't have the courage right now, or maybe they're not even aware because they're just not able to focus in on you right now, Father, I just pray your divine healing ointment, Father, your balm, your salve of forgiveness, Father, your ointment of forgiveness, that you will just wash over them, that you will cleanse them, Father, that they will be able to name the hurt, that they will be able to name how it hurt them, that they will be able to take it to you, and that you then will take that pain away and remove them from that situation, from that hurt, from that anger, from that bitterness and resentment. Thank you, Father. We love you, Father. Amen.